When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do what was customary under the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence for all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul also." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is a poignant story. For all the beauty of Christmas, there is also pain. For all the joy and delight, there is suffering, loss, and the shadow of death. For all the happiness of the holiday, it is frequently accompanied by disappointment, and we know this, even though we'd rather not talk about it. Now, I love Christmas, and I'm sure you do too. The songs lift my soul. The story of Christmas never fails to evoke wonder. And yet I was reminded this December one more time of the plain truth, that every time I plug in a string of white twinkle lights, one of the bulbs has already burned out, even if the string of lights is brand new. I've come to concur that this is just the way Christmas is. The light breaks into the darkness. In neighborhoods like mine, all the houses are lit up. And I believe what the Gospel of John announces on Christmas Eve. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Yet I'm reminded there is still darkness. The scriptures tell us that after Jesus is born, there is an old man, Simeon, and an old woman, Anna, and both have been hanging on until they can see the Messiah. Luke introduces them and dismisses them in the same scene. We don't know much about these senior citizens other than they are hovering around the Jerusalem temple, waiting, praying, fasting, hoping to see the Messiah, even before they learn his name. Of the two, Simeon is the most excitable. He waits for all the mothers to present their children and offer them to the covenant of God. No doubt he has frightened more than a few. Here comes the old man wobbling on his walking stick. He peers into all of the blue blankets to ask, "Is it a boy? Is this the one?" All the fathers are standing by, shifting from one foot to the other, worried if they'll be able to remember the right words when the priest comes along. And here comes old Simeon, not staying in his lane, going from one family to the next, intruding to say, "Is it a boy? Can I see your boy?" And the father said, "Get away from him, old man, you're scaring us." But Simeon persists. He means well because he hopes deeply. Somehow God has whispered into his ear that Simeon will not see death until he sees the Messiah. He will see him. And it means that one more light will flicker and go out. For all its candlelight and good cheer, Christmas can be a difficult holiday in the best of years. We're told to be happy when plenty of us are worn out. We're encouraged to look up when seasonal shadows and empty seats at the table are pulling us down. 55 years ago, Charlie Brown confessed how he felt hollow during the season. And for good reason, that cartoon has never gone off the air. There is appropriate joy, and it's entangled with sadness. This year, of course, is so much harder. We've pulled back from one another to stay well and to keep others well. And meanwhile, the unseen virus infects and claims some of the people we love. If you crossed the state line recently, you've seen the signs requiring a 2-week quarantine. And if you sneaked through anyway, the threat of illness was hovering over your shoulder. And even if you unwrapped everything you wanted this Christmas, none of us can really outrun the whiff of disappointment. Hindsight is 20/20, some have said. And we are ready to put 2020 in the rearview mirror. I guess that's why I am moved by the story of Simeon and Anna. Jesus is born, and it's not instant success. The Messiah has come, and there's plenty of work yet to do. At its best, Christmas is the magic moment, but it is not instant transformation. It's only the beginning. So the ancient man pulls back the next blue blanket, sees this infant child, and the Holy Spirit whispers, "This is the one, here he is." It's all he can do to keep from breaking back into the tears of joy. After so many centuries of longing, after all the balancing of patience and impatience, the Christ has come, and the old saint breaks into song with four of the biggest words in his vocabulary. Simeon declares what he has seen: peace, salvation, revelation, glory. The storyteller tells us that Joseph and Mary are speechless. And then Simeon offers a mixed blessing to the parents. Here's how someone translates his words. This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel. A figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you. But his rejection will bring forth honesty as God reveals who they really are. The baby Jesus has come. He is the promised Messiah. And Simeon reminds us that the heart of his work is to reveal what kind of work in our own souls must be undertaken. He will show us what the world cannot provide. He will invite us to choose between our illusions and that package of those four great words, peace, salvation, revelation, and glory. If we make the choice, it will require some hard work for us. Now, I don't know in myself what Christmas it was, but I think it was sometime in my early adolescence. I can't date it, but it must have been the year when I opened all the packages and realized something was missing. It wasn't anything on my list, I'm sure of that. I've been blessed to spend all my years with an extended family that has provided everything I wanted and given me more than I needed. And I realized that's not the case with everybody. But that year, I sat in the pile of wrapping paper and ribbons and felt like I wanted to cry. For all the Yuletide abundance, something was missing and I didn't want to let it show. Have you ever felt like that? Around you, there's happy laughter, shouts of excitement, Perry Como chirping on the stereo. You feel that, you hear that, but you also feel the absence. What is it? What am I missing? And I ask because the feeling has returned on many other Christmases. Not just in this horrible year of COVID-19, but other times when loved ones could still gather and we were free to celebrate however we wanted. What was missing? What was it? And then this week I sat down with the story of Simeon. And suddenly the Holy Spirit whispered into my ear what is often absent. In a word, consolation. Consolation is the sense of a settled heart, the dispersing of anxiety, the sufficiency of grace. Simeon's whole life's work was to anticipate the consolation of Israel, the abiding sense that all will truly be okay, and that what will be provided for us will be enough. Now this year, if you unwrapped socks and underwear, somebody thought they were a necessity. If you received a good book or a great toy, it will be a sweet diversion for what looks to be a long, hard winter. But true consolation comes with the deep assurance there's something invisible beyond the external stuff. And that something invisible will hold your life and the lives of a lot of other people. Call it the consolation of Israel. I've read this week a couple of fascinating articles about Theodore Geisel, the poet known by the name Dr. Seuss. He confessed how he became a curmudgeon after he became famous. Geisel was living in an overpriced beach house in a swanky suburb of San Diego. Every children's book he wrote hit the top of the charts and was reduced to something to be sold every autumn in order to become a Christmas bestseller. He grumbled how his publisher had turned him into a commodity, something to be marketed and sold, and Dr. Seuss came to hate it, even though the money was really, really good. As he scowled in a dark mood one day, it suddenly sparked his imagination. By gazing into the mirror of his soul, Theodore Geisel created his most enduring poetic character, the Grinch. And if I may quote from the moment of the Grinch's awakening, every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Of course it does. Christmas means consolation. There is something beyond what we can see. There is the child born to Mary, circumcised and dedicated into God's covenant. But he will grow up to do more than build furniture in the family woodshop. This is the one destined for the falling and the rising of many. He reveals the deepest hungers of the human heart, and he prepares a banquet in the presence of his own enemies. This is the Christ, who has been born into our world to reveal God's true dominion and to call us, invite us toward it. In the midst of all our disappointments, he is the wonderful counselor. When we sense our limitations, he is mighty God and everlasting Father. When our hearts tremble, he is the Prince of Peace. When we discover in him what the world cannot offer, the promise of the prophet rings true. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. Trust the Christ and leave all things into his hands. For he is the consolation of Christmas. And wherever you are this day, may God find you and bless you.